Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, if you can't realize, I'm not Dustin. I'm not as buff, and I don't have a deep voice like him, you know. But I'm here, and it's a privilege for me to be up here preaching today. He asked me to do this. He's in Tupelo preaching for Matt, and just pray for him as he's preaching up there. And I'm going to take a little bit on a more serious note. I just want to brag on this youth group here. Man, I am so blessed to be the youth director here. If you don't know me, my name is Russ Daniels, and I started here in January, and I am loving it. And this is my support group right here. And man, they are awesome. They have blessed my life, and I pray that they will just keep on radiating. That's what we're calling it now. It's radiate. And I pray that they'll keep on radiating Jesus' light. So let's pray real quick. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for blessing us with another day. I pray that we will open up your word and just learn from it. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Psalm 62 today. And so you can open up your Bibles and follow along with that. So have you ever placed your trust and hope in like a seatbelt in a car? I mean, maybe you've placed your hope and trust in a seatbelt to keep you safe. Maybe it's to keep your children safe or your parents, whatever. Seatbelts are very, very important to have in a car, and it's crucial to have in a car. According to EdgarSnyder.com, seatbelts reduce the risk of fatal injury to front seat passengers by 45%. For those riding in rear seats, seatbelts reduce fatal injuries by 73%. Of those who wore a seatbelt during an accident, 76,452 were not injured. Of those who did not wear a seatbelt during an accident, only 4,605 were not injured. Seatbelts are made to keep people safe in an event of a wreck or something like that, but there is still a ton of people who do not wear them. And they provide a crucial part that can save our lives in a car for us, and we don't even use them. And why would we not wear seatbelts when we know that they can save our lives? So we place our hope and trust in seatbelts to keep us safe, but sometimes we don't even wear them. This reminds me of us as Christians. We have the eternal seatbelt, God, the Word, the body of believers, church. We have the eternal seatbelt to keep us safe, but we often place our hope and trust in something else, like money, fame, cars, you know, anything, people, friends. The temptation is to seek security and comfort and power, wealth, and sometimes people rather than God. So let's dive into Psalm 62. Psalm 62 is one of the Psalms written by King David during the days of his son Absalom's rebellion. Absalom was a King David's third son, and Absalom's plan was to overthrow King David's kingdom. And Absalom was trying to kill David, his father. He's trying to kill him and his people. And so David and his people fled from Jerusalem to get away. That's just kind of a backstory. It's in 2 Samuel. The theme of this passage is placing all hope in God. He's in control no matter what. All we have to do is wait patiently for him to rescue us from trials, which is hard for most of us because we want things right here and right now. We have iPads and phones and things, and we can get stuff right there. We can press one day shipping and it'll get to our house in a second. And we want everything right here and right now. But we have to be patient. I mean, God's timing is perfect, so we have to be patient for it. True relief does not come when the problem is resolved, because more problems are on the way. This should encourage us to place our hope and trust in God even more. I mean, why wouldn't we? When you become a Christian, you're not guaranteed an easier life. some people think that. Some people think that when you accept Jesus into your heart, that you're going to have this easy, great life. And it may be the case, some of y'all, but a lot of us go through a lot of trials and a lot of persecution when we become a Christian. But you are guaranteed eternal satisfaction through Jesus. That's what you're guaranteed. True relief from a problem comes from placing all hope in God in times of trouble, and this is when all trials will be resolved. So my first point, it's in the bulletins, y'all can follow along, is wait patiently for the Lord. And that's Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. David here was going through a super tough time, as you can imagine. Like, his son was trying to kill him. So if your son was trying to kill you, you'd be going through a really tough time. You'd be losing sleep. You'd be losing, I mean, you'd be going crazy. You'd be super stressed out. So it was very hard for David to find any kind of rest, but he placed his hope in God's protection to protect him and his people. He found that rest that he was losing in God, and waiting patiently for God to deliver him from his, this problem that he's in. So the word salvation in this verse, he alone is my rock and salvation, the word salvation can mean deliverance from harm, or you can put it deliverance for sin, from sin. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's pretty hard. Let's read it again. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's super hard for me. I'm not a patient person. I'm just not. And that verse just, you know, kind of cuts deep. Just like Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knows what's best for his sheep. We talked about this in youth. We've been going through the book of Psalms for the past couple of Wednesdays, and we've been talking about that. He knows what's best for his sheep. We are his sheep, and he's not going to lead you the wrong way. If you place all your hope and trust in him, he's not going to lead you the wrong way. The way he leads you may not be the way you want, but he's not going to lead you the wrong way. He knows what's best for us, so this is why we should place all our hope and trust in him. So I've experienced this in my life, myself. I didn't know what God had in store for my life. I'm 20, and I knew God had something placed in my life, some kind of huge thing. I just didn't know what it was. I interned at City Church, a church in Jackson, in downtown Jackson, southern part of Jackson, that is a pretty rough place. And so it was kind of like a mission-based place. And he placed me there for 6 months. I loved it. But then First Baptist Jackson actually, like, sponsors them. So First Jackson called me up. I played the drums, too. They called me up and said, hey, we want you to play drums for our orchestra this semester. And so that was a scholarship towards MC, which I need that, you know, because MC is so expensive. Thank you, Mom. So I did that, but money in my pocket, I was making $25 a week, and that was just from drum lessons. I was giving one little girl drum lessons, and I loved it. I loved doing that, but it just wasn't very good money. But God provided. He gave me that $25, and that got me gas to get over to First Jackson every Wednesday and Sunday. So while I was at First Baptist, I got really, really impatient. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how I was going to be able to provide for myself. And I was planning on proposing to Emily in this time period, and I didn't have any money to even buy the ring or nothing. And I know her dad was going to be like, no, Russ, you're stupid. And so in this situation, I found that God really does care for his sheep. He really does. When I placed all my hope in God and trust in this situation, God led me here. Just one random day, I told God, you know, you can handle this, and you're going to lead me where I need to go. And I just kind of just let him have the situation. And I just was praying for a couple of, it was probably 2 or 3 weeks. I was just praying and praying. It was around November time. I was just praying for God to open up the doors, whatever it was. If it was me still working at First Jackson, that's it. But one of my friends, Drake Nelson, he's a youth pastor down in Silverina Baptist. He came up to me at MC and was like, hey, are you still wanting to be a youth minister? And I was like, heck yeah. And he was like, well, I have this church that in Brookhaven that needs a youth pastor. And I was like, in Brookhaven? That's where my family's from. My grandfather was a pastor here. My mom went to BA all of her life. And so it just clicked. And I knew that God was working in this situation. And he placed me here. And these 6 months that I've been here, almost 6 months, have been the most amazing time of my life. Like, these kids here bless me more than I bless them. They teach me more than I teach them. They don't know that, which y'all got a little secret. But, man, it's just been awesome. So, in verse 2, I love that David uses the word rock and salvation and fortress. When I think of a fortress, I think of this huge castle like in England, like the whole wedding thing has been going on. These huge castles with huge walls and, you know, cannons at the top trying to, you know, keep people away. I think of fortress like that. So when he says that God is his rock and fortress, it assures me that God is going to protect me. He's going to get me through times of trial. He's going to get me through times of me being impatient. And you just have to place all your trust in him. And he's going to protect you. He's our fortress. So point number 2 is prayer can release our tensions in time of stress. And that's verses 3-8. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. I love that. My mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So we're going to read Philippians 4, 6, and 7 too. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So in verse 3 and 4, we see that David's feelings towards this situation that he's in, of David's son trying to kill him and his people. We see this. And you know he has to be stressed out. And this is exactly what we should do. Verses 3 and 4, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. He was just kind of, you know, giving it, just saying it. And this is exactly what we should do with God. You know, tell God your problems. Tell God your situation. Pour out your heart to God. Ask him for help. And a little backstory with me, my grandfather died in February, and I expressed my feelings towards God. My grandfather was like my best friend. Some of y'all know him. And I told him that, I told God that I was kind of mad. I was kind of frustrated because I really wanted my grandfather to be here today to see me do this for the first time. I wanted him to, but I know he's here with us right now. He's got me. He's guiding my words. But he didn't get a chance to see me preach, and that's what he wanted to see. And it was his dream for one of his grandchildren to become a minister and follow in his footsteps. So I got kind of mad at God, and then God reassured me, like he always does. He like talks back to you and he's like, you know, you were wrong. And he told me that he took Granddaddy when he did because his timing and will is perfect for my life. And that's true for all of us here today. His timing and his will for us is perfect. You just have to place all your hope and trust in him. Even though his timing and will is perfect, even though we may never know the reasoning behind something he does. So a lot of us, you know, when we go through a hard time like that, we're like, God, why'd you do this? I don't deserve this. I wish this, all kinds of selfish things that we want satisfaction here. We want to be comfortable here on earth. But our eternal home is not here. It's to be with Jesus. I mean, the end of our life is to be with Jesus. Heaven is our home. And this is in verses 5 and 6, David then spoke back to God. He spoke scripture back to God. This is where God will restore your faith. So let's read that. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. That's so true. And this is where God will restore your faith and show you that he's got you in his hands. Just like the old song, we've got the whole world, or he's got the whole world in his hands, you know? Just like the old children's song. We used to sing that all the time in Songbirds with my mom led it at Monticello Baptist. But we should always speak truth back to God in our prayers and with our life. Tell God that he's got you in his hands. Just tell him, you know? God, I know you've got me in your hands. You're going to guide and protect me. You're my rock, my salvation, my fortress. So I don't think it's a mistake that rock, salvation, and fortress, you see these words a lot in Psalm 62. Just like in music, a repeat is used to stress the importance of a part. Just like in speaking, a repeat is to stress the importance. And trusting God to be our rock, salvation, and fortress will change our whole entire outlook on life. No longer must we be held captive by resentment towards others when they hurt us, or regret when we do something wrong. When we are resting in God's strength, nothing can shake us. So, I just love that. Nothing can shake us. So point number 3 is the faithful work we do for God has eternal value. And that's verses 9 through 12. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. But no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. I love that part where it says, power belongs to God. That power belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. We think it does. We think we should have everything because we're the best. But no. All the power and wealth, just that's why we take up the offering. Everything belongs to God. So we have to show him that, yes, my life is yours. My heart is yours. It's tempting to use power and wealth to measure people. We sometimes can think that people with power and wealth are better than us. So if somebody is super rich, maybe the king and queen that just got married, or the Prince Harry or whatever. I don't even know their names. But we sometimes can think that they're better than us because they're richer or they're succeeding in life more than us. But this is not true. Maybe in worldly standards, it's true. Maybe the world sees it, oh yeah, they're a lot more wealthy than you. They've got more power. No. Those people that are living for power and wealth are but a breath to God. It says that right there. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of higher estate are delusion. And we are all called to share the good news of Jesus, to be more like Jesus. And so Isaiah 61:8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. So you may ask, like, how in the world can I not be but a breath to God? We're called to share the good news. Verse 12 tells us that God rewards us for doing the good works. But you have to be careful with that. You see the reward, you want the reward, so you're going to go do the good works. But that's not why we should do it. You have to be careful. Works do not save us. Jesus does. Christianity is not a works-based religion. And works come from growing in a relationship with God. And power and wealth do not add value to us in God's eyes. That's just this worldly thing. But the faithful work we do for God has eternal value. The faithful work we do for God has eternal value. You may not have had like people trying to kill you like David does. You may have never had your son trying to kill you, or maybe you have. But we can sure take some valuable things from this experience. Satan is always, always, always on a mission to attack us and tempt us to do things against the will of God that God does not have in place for your life. So we have to place all our hope and trust in Jesus and to be our rock and fortress and our salvation to protect us from Satan's lies. This is a quote from Charles Spurgeon, like study Bible I have. It says, in life's most threatening times, you will be at peace if God alone is your salvation and refuge. Let me say that again. In life's most threatening times, you will be at peace if God alone is your salvation and refuge. So what do we need to do? We need to make God alone our salvation and refuge. So to kind of recap everything, the 3 points that I went over. So how do you place your hope in God? You can see you have to wait. You have to be patient. It's hard for me. You have to be patient. You have to pray. That's hard for me too. Pray without ceasing. Oh my gosh, that's insane. I've prayed a lot today because I was kind of nervous about this. But I kind of pray without ceasing today. But we have to live. Not just live here on earth, we have to live for Jesus. We have to make him our rock and our salvation and our refuge, our fortress. So my question for you today is, have you placed all your hope in God? And that's the theme of this, Psalm 62. Have you placed your hope and trust in God? God alone. My tendency is to place all my hope and trust in my family, Emily, to get me through this kind of thing. She's been praying for me like crazy. And yes, you can do that, but God alone will get you through it. And God alone is our rock and our fortress. He'll protect you. He knows what's best for his sheep. So if you've never done that before today, if you've never placed all your hope in God, don't waste any more time. You hear this all the time here in these church services. Don't waste any more time. You know, don't take another step out these doors before you make a decision with God. But really, think about it. Have you placed all your hope in God? You may say, my life is messed up and I don't know what to do. I'm at the last straw, you know. You have to place your hope in God. He'll get you through the hard times. A lot of the youth are struggling with depression. They're struggling with friends committing suicide, with parents getting a divorce, with things like that. And I just tell them all the time, you have to place your hope and trust in God. Wait patiently for him. You know, he'll get you through it. He will. Just like he got me through the time where I thought that my life, I didn't know what to do with my life. I knew that God had a huge plan for me. I just didn't know what to do with it. If you need to restore your relationship with God, maybe you've accepted Jesus into your heart before. Maybe you need to restore your relationship with God today. Do it today. I mean, just do it. I mean, come down to the altar and pray. Pray for your situation. Talk scripture back to God. Explain to him your feelings. Jesus paid the price for us on the cross so that we can do this today. I mean, we wouldn't be here if Jesus didn't die on the cross for us. We were destined for hell if Jesus didn't die for us. He paid the ultimate price for our sins so that we can make that choice to follow him. Y'all hear it all the time and y'all see it all the time, crosses. Maybe you're wearing one on your neck. Do you really know what that is? It's not just a decoration or a piece of jewelry. That was a torture device that Jesus hung on. God in human form hung on. And he did it for you so that you can place your hope and trust in him today. So I'm going to ask you to do that today. If you've never done that, I pray that you will find somebody, whether it's me, whether it's Robert, whether it's some deacon, adult in here, you know, we will help you through it. So let's pray real quick. And thank you all so much for letting me do this today. God, thank you so much for placing this word on my heart. I pray that it touched somebody else's heart today. I know it did mine. I pray that the people in here today will, I pray that you'll break their heart for what breaks yours. And help us just to respond to you the way that you're leading us, whether it's just to come down to the altar, whether it's to kneel at our seat, whether it's to raise our hands during the song. Lord, I pray that we will just respond how you want us to respond. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.